The reading this morning can be found in Matthew chapter 13, reading from verse 1. It's on page 978 of your pew Bible. The parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Let us pray. Lord, you have spoken to us in your word. Help us to hear what you are saying. Help us to understand what you are saying. Help each of our lives to be changed by what you are saying. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who call on your name in faith. Amen. We've already heard it several times today that this is the day when we celebrate harvest. And I must say this truly is a lovely display, and I would like to add my thanks to those who have made this possible. This is the time of the year when the transition to autumn is well underway. The leaves are changing color. The produce of the crops is being gathered. Harvest is a natural time of year when we see the abundance of the earth, and it is right and proper for us to look at the abundance of our lives and say thank you to God for all of the blessings that we enjoy each and every day. Gratitude is a proper posture for the time of harvest. As you may know, in my home country, for some reason, we've put it a bit later, in late November, when we gather around the table for similar types of meals, the food, family, and of course the third F, football. I'm already excited for it. We've also heard this morning, though, that harvest is one of those times when we pay special attention to the needs of the world around us. For our church family here in Kemne, that has meant learning about and supporting the ongoing work of Tear Fund. And again, I'd like to thank Jim and Allison for putting this morning's presentation together so that we might all consider anew how we might be in prayerful support of Tear Fund's ongoing ministry. And since it is harvest, it seems fitting for us to look at a passage of Scripture that seems to have some bearing on this time of year. What is known as the parable of the sower, which is recorded for us in all three synoptic gospels. And the synoptic gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And as we have heard, this is a parable. But what exactly is a parable? Well, I went onto Google because Google knows everything. And it defines it as such. A simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson, such as those told by Jesus in the Gospels. That's straight from Google. So Jesus got a shout out on the internet. That's pretty good. But I would add a bit more to the definition. I would say, with all respect to Google, that a parable is a seemingly simple story used to illustrate a profound spiritual or moral lesson, such as those told by Jesus in the Gospels. And at first glance, on the most immediate level, this parable and the other parables that Jesus told are simple stories. They are simple. They had to be simple. They have to be simple still, so that everyone who heard Jesus could have a chance of understanding some of what Jesus taught. In the parables of Jesus, we see the master teacher at work. In his parables, Jesus always used scenes and imagery from the lives of those who heard his teachings. There would have been no point in Jesus teaching the crowds with a parable that they could not understand. That would be like someone standing up here trying to tell a parable about an American football player. There's probably two people in this church, maybe three, who would understand that parable directly. But if I used a parable maybe about a Scottish rugby player, the rate of understanding would go up, save for one. So Jesus always used imagery and scenes in his parables that people could understand. And in verse 1, we are told that Jesus went out of the house, sat beside the sea, and a great crowd gathered about him, so that he had to get into a boat and sit down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach while Jesus sat in the boat in the water. He then taught them what we call the parable of the sower. And we are told that the sower, or the farmer, went out to sow seed. In verses 4 through 8 of our passage, describe different results that came from the sowing of the seed. First of all, seed fell where? Where did it first fall? Along the path, right? Not even in the soil, but on the path. And what happened to the seed that fell along the path? The birds came and devoured it, he said. And then some seed fell on rocky ground where there was not much soil, and some grain did come up quickly. But since the earth was shallow and there was very little moisture, there were no deep roots, that withered in the heat. Then we are told that some seed fell among thorns or weeds, and the seed was quickly choked out by it. Finally, we are told some seed fell among what Scripture simply calls good earth, and it produced a whole harvest of grain. And then the parable then ends with the fairly ominous sounding, "The one who has ears, hear this." Now, this parable might seem simple, but when we discussed it last week in Winnowers, it quickly became apparent that there is a great deal of depth and mystery with this parable. And it's not just us either. It's not some deficiency on our part. If we look through church history, the interpretation of this parable and other parables has spurred lively debate among godly women and men. There are many different options for understanding this kind of parable and what we are supposed to take from it. One option, to borrow the words of biblical scholar Dale Bruner, we can understand this passage as a parable of victory. Victory won by the Son of Man, Jesus' preferred title for himself. At the end of the world, a victory won in spite of all opposition, all doubt, all apathy, all setbacks experienced in the here and now. In this view of the parable of the sower, difficulties and setbacks by the church are acknowledged, but God's ultimate victory, as seen in the plentiful harvest, is affirmed. That's one way of looking at this text. Another view of this passage is as a parable about patience. In this reading, those who follow Jesus as disciples should not be discouraged when their own efforts to evangelize, to spread the good news of Christ, do not produce great results. We should also not despair when we are reviled for our faith, because even though much of the seed does not take hold in people's lives, the seed that does take hold yields incredible results, so much so it will more than make up for any lack of receptivity in other people. This is quite an attractive way of looking at this text, I think, especially when we here are living in an increasingly secular culture, when on one level it seems like the number of people who profess faith in Christ are greatly outnumbered by those who do not. So that's another way of looking at the text, as a lesson about being patient in sharing the good news, waiting for the good results to come. Still others have viewed this passage as a parable about responsibility. In this reading of the parable, Jesus is warning those who hear him, including us today, about the importance of being good soil in which the word of God can flourish and grow. This is also a very appealing view of this passage, and it does seem to agree with some of Jesus' own explanation later on in the parable. Verse 23, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. There is no doubt that Matthew's gospel does highlight the value of good soil. So those are three attempts to understand a parable. A parable of God's victory, a parable of patience, a parable of responsibility. But I wonder if any of these options really hit at the heart of our Lord's teaching. All of these options we have mentioned do have something to teach us about this parable. And maybe we've seen by now this parable is anything but simple. Will God have ultimate victory? Yes. Should we be cheerfully patient in the work of evangelism? Yes. Is it important to examine our lives and to try to live as good soil? Yes. But if these aren't the heart of the parable, what is? Here's my take on it. From start to finish, Jesus' parables, including this one, are about the power of God's word to bring God's kingdom into the world. They're about the power of the word of God to bring the kingdom of God into the world. In the parables of Jesus, the primary actor is God. The parables are primarily about what God brings about. Look at this parable again. While important, Jesus presents the soil, even the good soil, as a passive recipient of the seed. Now, I know in farming, the quality of the soil is very important, but the emphasis that Jesus places in this parable is all on the seed. So in one sense, this parable is all about the power of the word of God, which is the seed, to bring about incredible change in our lives and in the whole world. This parable shows us that what happens when that seed, when that word, when it takes root in good soil, it produces an incredible harvest. The seed that is the word of God is powerful. The seed that is the word of God changes lives. Yet in this parable, we see this seed, this powerful word of God, scattered everywhere. And a lot of the seed does not bear fruit. Most farmers that I know of are very careful where they put, where they sow their seeds. But that's not the case in this parable, is it? The seed goes everywhere. So the question then becomes, is God a foolish farmer? What sort of farmer would scatter seed everywhere, on the road, thin soil, in the thorny soil, and finally in the good soil? Isn't all of that a tremendous waste? How do we square this with the words of the prophet Isaiah, who declares to us that the word of the Lord, the seed, will not return empty? Well, here's my attempt to make sense of this. We often think of the seed that falls by the roadside as a description of those who are indifferent to the gospel. We think of the seed in the shallow soil as those who want to embrace the gospel but don't have the spiritual maturity or depth to persevere when hardship comes. We think of the seed that falls in the thorny soil as those who would really like to be Christians, would like to follow Jesus, but are just too distracted by the world to make it a real priority. And we tend to think of Christ's disciples as the good soil, as those who hear, those who understand and embrace God's word, and those whose lives bear the fruit of the harvest, the fruit of the Spirit. That's our usual division of this. Jesus talks about this a bit later on in the parable. He talks about how the roadside is like the person who does not receive it. The shallow soil is like the person who receives it initially but can't hold on. What if these four categories, the roadside, the shallow soil, the thorny soil, and the good soil, what if they are all describing the same person? What if they're all describing us in some way? What if each of us is a mixture of these things, of hard roadside, shallow soil, thorny soil, and good soil? What if each of us is being described in this parable? Rather than dividing humanity into various groups, what if this passage is Jesus' way of showing each of us for what we are? Some ways faithful, some ways not, some ways brave, some ways scared. What if there is an aspect of each of our lives that is like the roadside, indifferent to God's word? What if there are parts of our lives that are like the shallow soil, very much wanting to change, very much wanting to be like Christ, but lacking the patience and depth to do so? What if there are areas of our lives that are like the thorny ground, wanting to believe, wanting to trust, but holding on so tight to the cares of this world, to the deceit of riches, that we refuse to let go and surrender that part of our lives to Christ? And what if there are parts of our lives in which Christ does reign supreme, in which the fruit of the Spirit does show forth and impacts Kemne for the better? Does that sound like you? Don't ask, don't raise your hands. It certainly sounds like me. I'd be lying if I said I had it all together. My parents are very fond of saying to me, "Son, we're all mixed bags." We read the parable in this way: God is anything but a foolish farmer. God knows very well what each of us is all about. He knows how easily we become indifferent. He knows how easily we doubt. He knows how easily we worry. But even now, God is spreading his word into every area of our lives. He is spreading it into the indifferent places. He is spreading it into the shallow places. He is spreading it into the conflicted places. He is spreading it into the good and deep places. We are assured in this parable that the bountiful harvest will continue to grow in those good places of our lives, not because of us, but because God's word is powerful, and it will not return empty. It will continue to grow. It will continue to make more and more of our lives into that good soil. It will continue to spread until the harvest in our lives is truly plentiful in each of our lives and in our community. God's harvest is underway. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the word that you scatter into each of our lives. Thank you for the word that you scatter on the parts of us that are indifferent. Thank you for the word that you scatter in the parts of our lives that lack depth. Thank you for the word that you scatter in the parts of our lives that are conflicted. Thank you for the word that you scatter on the parts of our lives that are good, deep, and receptive. Help us to trust, Lord, that in our lives, in our community, in our world, the good work of your harvest is ongoing and will be completed. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who is the Lord of the harvest. Amen.